This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. How you doing, Naira? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm actually out of town. I'm just coming back from a family wedding, but I said, got to delay the flight, have the big O show to do. You've got to have your priorities. So right now there's 200 people seated on a Delta plane who have been told, hey, it's the Acura Pembroke Pines report. You'll leave when you leave, damn it. And we'll leave it at that.
I like it. All right. So you wrote about, I love what you did in the article today where you had all the dates and everything going on with the Miami Heat. And I know you talked about them having to give the $1.8 million Yurt and Gabe and Strus, right, and those guys.
The non-guaranteed contract. That's a no-brainer. Yeah.
Right. This is a no-brainer. It's going to happen on Wednesday. How come they haven't done it already? Just out of curiosity.
Because of trades. Because of what if they got to a situation they were going to be under the cap and they needed an extra $2 million. The one thing I've learned over the years with the Heat is they never do anything until they have to. So Big O, even though people are talking about PJ Tucker and is opting out of his contract for the next year, going to go into free agency, that's not official yet. That'll become official tomorrow. Everyone wants to maximize flexibility because there's a chance, for example, PJ Tucker opts into the low money and people are like, that makes no sense. But what if the Heat on the side said, you know what? You're going to be an early bird free agent next year. Take the 1 year now. Give us the flexibility. Next year, we can give you a higher starting point in your salary. We can work with you. The other thing I mentioned in my Sunday notes at SunSentinel.com and in the story today in the Sun Sentinel, because of what happened last year with the Heat, where they approached Kyle Lowry, the NBA says too early, I think everything is going to be according to Hoyle and by the book this offseason, because I got to tell you, the NBA, like a lot of leagues, is sort of looks at teams as recidivists. Okay, you did it once. You lost a second-round pick. There wasn't that much pain last Thursday. Let's face it. They wound up loading up with undrafted guys anyway. Do it again, it might be a first-round pick. Do it again, it might be a reduced salary cap. Do it again, right, it could be something more. So I think the Heat are being very careful. I can't tell you, Big O, how many times I've called the Heat on an innocuous question. Has Strus been taken care of? Has Omar been taken care of? Has Gabe Vincent? Not even a return text. They are doing everything here by the book. When Pat Riley talks today about welcoming the new first-round pick, Nikola Jokic, I doubt he veers into free agency because it's dangerous. Because even if you mention another team's name, unless that player is in free agency and free agency starts the talk supposedly at 6 p.m. Friday, and I think an interesting factor for the listeners here of the Acura Pembroke Pines report will find, I think the initial boom, Woj beats Shams, Shams beats Woj, I don't think that's going to happen as quickly Friday. Because teams don't want the league to say, wait a minute, it's 6:01 p.m. and they have a contract with this guy? That must have been a hell of a minute. So I think because of what happened last year, to review for people.
And by the way, add one more caveat to that whole thing. Let's be honest now. Woj is tied to the same agency that's tied to a shit ton of players.
Correct.
That's why he gets the in. And I'm sure those agents are going to hear from those GMs and say, hey, let's not screw this up, right? Because then you also ruin
relationships. Right. Woj, you can win, and we won't tell Shams. And Shams has his agents. And Shams, right, you can win. He has Kyrie. He has Ben Simmons. And we won't tell your guys. But I think the boom guys, I think you're going to see some guys
like
you've
a domino effect is what I'm saying of that whole thing.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see some guys you've never heard of reporting stuff first because they don't have the ties. So they'll go with what a player told them. So I think it's going to be very interesting. But again, to review so people know what happened last year, the NBA said the Heat contacted Kyle Lowry too early in free agency, and the Heat were, whoa, we tried to trade for this guy at the trading deadline. We knew what his request would be. We knew what the Raptors would want in a signing trade. It was easy. At 6:01, okay, we'll do the deal we talked to you about in February. Okay, Kyle, we'll give you the contract we talked about on an extension in February. The Bulls, the same thing with Lonzo Ball getting him from the Pelicans. But I think because the league came down semi-hard last year, I think teams are going to have to think twice. I think the newsbreakers will still be out there, and here's the reason. Even though negotiations begin on the 30th at 6 p.m., signings and transactions cannot be announced and completed until July 6th, when we're out, just about out in Vegas for the Summer League, until noon that day. So nothing can come from the teams. It has to come from the newsbreakers, from the agents, from the players. But the teams have to play it very careful until the new salary cap comes out, the new luxury tax comes out, the new numbers come out for the limit you can go into the tax if you're a recidivist team. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a week's worth of rumors. I think it's going to start ahead of time because it always does, but it's just going to be literally Twitter driven.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of the guys in our family gets a story or two in Jordan Schultz. He gets either NBA or NFL stories all the time.
Don't count out Winderman or Chang yet. We might have
obviously I expect Winderman and Chang, but I'm saying on the outside guys that maybe one of our guys in our family outside of the Winderman and the Changs could be getting something. So what are you smelling, by the way? What's Ira Winderman smelling?
Well, I don't know what The Rock is smelling, but I can tell you this whole thing about PJ Tucker to the Sixers, for them to give him the deal that he would want, they would have to trade not only Matisse Thybulle, but maybe Furkan Korkmaz as well. So they have a lot of work ahead of themselves before they can get to that $10 million that they need to. So I think that's a little bit shaky there. You know, there's a lot of people.
Hold on. Three-year 30, and Miami is at three-year 27, right?
If they're offering the third year.
But wait a minute. If they are, and it's a no-tax state, what the hell is the difference?
Because I think the third year's in flux. Because people ask me, why did Kyle Lowry so quickly agree to the Heat? I will tell you why, people out there in the accurate Pembroke Pines report. Because the Heat were the only team to guarantee the third year for a player who's going to be turning 38. A lot of teams said, Kyle Lowry, you're good. You led Toronto to a title just 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We'll give you 2 years. We'll work on the third. Big O, I'm still not sold the Heat are willing to offer the third year to a player who will be turning 40. God bless PJ Tucker and the shape he's in. But at some point, you have to balance things. This takes us back to 2020 free agency, where Jay Crowder...
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. They got to be willing to offer the third year if, let me tell you, if you're also telling him, because you brought this up earlier, if you tell him, well, you agree to a one-year deal and then we'll get you after because you're a bird rights guy, that's going to be a multi-year deal.
That is going to be a multi-year deal. But then again, the Heat have the patience of waiting on the cap space, seeing what he does in the year. But more than anything, I would do it this way. I would do the third year as a games played the previous year or previous 2 years. If you show us in year two, you can play 60 games. I'm going to set the bar low. If you can play three quarters of the schedule, boom, you're in. Maybe total games from the previous 2 years, we'd have what would be about 184. If you play 120 of those games or something like that, then I would go with that also. So I think you could make it work as long as you can reach an agreement. But you know what? PJ's holding the leverage, and I'll tell you why. The next guy down on that tier of journeyman free agents at the mid-level is Thaddeus Young, who didn't get to the playoffs this year, who's already been, he's been from Philly to Chicago to San Antonio, to Toronto last year. So it's a second degree of a player there. So I think that he realized where they are, and the league realizes where they are.
All right. What more have you been able to unearth about Orlando Robinson?
Yeah, that's an interesting name. So I got to tell you a little story. I'm out here in New Jersey walking with my son the other day, and I said, hey, the Heat got Orlando Robinson. He's going like, whoa. One, he was surprised he wasn't drafted. Two, he said, this is a big-time skilled guy offensively. He can help defensively. And he told me, kiddingly, he goes, Dad, I think he's going to make the roster. Now, I wouldn't go that far. But what I'm saying is what's interesting here, Big O, is this, and I wrote about it on my Ask Ira. I just posted at sunsentinel.com. If they really are committed to Omer Yurtseven, and I'll say it here, and they damn well better be. And if they are committed to Nikola Jovic and he's not staying overseas, and let's face it, they're not having a noon press conference at FTX Arena to announce a guy who's not going to be here next year. That's another big. Plus, they have Bam. I'm not so sure that Dwayne Dedman is long for the Heat. Because if you can get an Orlando Robinson at the minimum non-guaranteed Exhibit 10 contract where you can play it out, I think it's going to be very interesting. Now, a lot of this has to do with PJ Tucker. If PJ Tucker doesn't come back, you don't have a lot of veterans there. You can't go with Bam. and then a 19 youngest Heat player ever, Nikola Jovic, an unproven, I know you love him, Big O, but Omer Yurtseven is not a proven playoff player yet. And then to go with an Orlando Robinson. So the Heat are building a nice young core of big men, but there needs to be one more veteran in there. Maybe it's still Deadman. Maybe it's PJ Tucker. I don't think you need both. So I think what the Heat are doing is they're saying, Dwayne Dedman, you were wonderful for 2 years for what we needed. You gave us the size we clearly were lacking, but maybe now they're moving on there. I like Orlando Robinson a lot. I'm curious what he could do defensively. But again, what the Heat have with all these guys they're adding are not complete players. Omer Yurtseven, slow-footed on defense. Nikola Jovic, I don't know if he could play a lick of NBA defense. He's going to have to learn the entire NBA game. Orlando Robinson, same kind of thing. So this is where the Heat developmental program will tell them when they get to the October start of camp, are any of these guys ahead far enough that they can move forward? So I think that's going to be interesting. I think the Heat are in a good spot developmentally. They always are. The Heat always had these guys.
Let me add something. What it looks like in Jovic and in Robinson is that you're also aiming more towards an offensive big man too. And that, like, Yurt still has to work on his offensive game. You can tell he's kind of raw, but he's a good rebounder. You know, Deadman's a guy that's also kind of limited in his offense too. Good defender, rebounder. But these last two kids that they just added, it seems like they're trying to find the big guy with the offensive skill set, and then we'll teach them defense.
Yes, absolutely.
Instead of the other way around, that they get the guy that already has the defensive disposition, but now we've got to teach him offense.
Sort of the opposite of Whiteside. Whiteside came in, great rebound, a great defender, couldn't play offense, forced the offense and wasn't. And you know what? Oh, this is curious. And I'm curious if Pat Riley addresses this at noon at FTX Arena. And you and I talk about this a lot in our Accurate Pembroke Pines reports. It's becoming an offensive league. You have to outscore. We saw that in the Boston series when they couldn't get points. At some point, it becomes about outscoring. I think Pat Riley's coming around, and now we have to deal with stubborn Eric Spoelstra. So I'll be really curious about that. But this is
long, athletic, big guys that can score, that can stretch. It's what you need in this league. And if any of those two cats become good defenders,
right,
then it becomes one hell of a player. You know what I mean? Because unfortunately, it's Eric Spoelstra who then has to put the puzzles together live on the floor. And then some of them have, you know, warts. Okay, I got to put him on the floor, but he doesn't defend well. I got to put him on the floor, but he doesn't shoot well. You know, that kind of stuff. This is what our dilemma has been with Bam, that you can't play him with another big man unless that other big man can really shoot from the outside. And I think that's what they're trying to find with Robinson. And yo, bitch, I think that's what they're trying to find.
And you know what? You probably couldn't find two better defensive teachers than Malik Allen coaching, and you'll be out there with us in Summer League, and Alonzo Mourning being around the gym. You'll probably see him in Summer League. You'll see him before camp with these guys also. So the Heat certainly have the defensive mentors when it comes to big men also, which will make it interesting.
All right, so let's bounce around the NBA now. Sure. All right, let's go first to Brooklyn. The whole mess in Brooklyn. I don't know what to believe or what. Is Kevin Durant really mad or frustrated about this situation? Or is he just acting like it and saying, you know, let me act like I really am bothered by all of this, but I really want to get rid of Kyrie Irving? Or I don't know what's going to go on. So what are you hearing with the Brooklyn situation? What do you think ends up happening here? Because I don't think that there's not a lot of cap space available in the NBA as it is. And it's usually a lot of the mediocre teams that have kind of that cap space. So what's going to happen with the Kyrie situation? If he wants his money and he wants a multi-year deal, who the hell is going to give it to him?
Brooklyn has to give it to him. It has to give him everything he wants for this reason, Big O. When the Brooklyn Nets made the trade with James Harden to get James Harden, they gave their entire future draft to the Houston Rockets. So the years the Rockets don't get the Brooklyn Nets first-round pick, they get pick swaps. If the Nets even think about rebuilding, every good draft choice they're going to have is going to go to the Rockets. That's going to be an unbelievable bonanza for the Rockets. They'll get Nets lottery picks. They'll swap into Nets lottery picks. The Nets' backs are against the wall. Kyrie knew that. He knew that he could squeeze every dollar. Think about this. Think about if someone works, Sean Stanley decided, I'm only working one day a week, but I'm taking my pay the other four, and then comes in and asks for a raise. Orlando Alzagari, as nice of a Cubano as I know, still would go, I got to draw the line here, my good friend Sean. I'm buying you one buffet, the rest are on your own in Vegas. The Nets don't have a choice. The Nets have to give Kyrie every penny he wants because there is no plan B. So they have that. Kevin Durant knows if I voice vocally, you must give me everything I need to win, the Nets have no choice. They can't trade him. The Nets backs are, when you make your deals with the devil, you never get out of that contract. You are headed to HE double hockey sticks no matter what. So the Nets know where they are. This is what you do. This is what all the big three teams have done. They've gone all in. Let's face it. If Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade couldn't play with LeBron, the Heat would have been screwed. If things fell apart like they did with the Cavaliers with Karan, the Lakers wound up being screwed. You make your deal with the devil, you have to live with it. That's what they've done. That's what the Lakers did with Russell Westbrook when they took the big money. They knew they wouldn't have cap space. They knew they wouldn't have draft choices. They knew they were screwed. The Nets, that Kyrie and Durant will get everything they want from the Nets because there is no plan B. The Nets literally could just flip the sign out of business because if they lose Kyrie and they lose Kevin Durant, there is no path out of there but years in the wilderness, and they might as well move back to the parking lot in New Jersey because they will become that irrelevant.
All right, so I don't even bother asking about Durant. You don't, he's not going anywhere. He'll be there.
He can. And again, he has 4 years left on his contract, so it's not like I'm out of here, I'm not showing up. There's only one player in the NBA willing to give up millions by sitting out, and that's Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. By the way, Craig Zins, Acura Pembroke Pines is celebrating their 14th year right now, their 14th anniversary. And the new Integra, the 2023, is in $369 a month. The TLX technology package, 2022, $479 a month. And they've got a ton of certified pre-owned vehicles with financing starting as low as 0.99%. So get on down to 15601 Pines Boulevard, just off of I-75 in Pines. All right, Ira. Donovan Mitchell. I'm not even going to ask about Bradley Beal because he's staying in Loserville. Okay, so
take the money and run.
Yeah. What's going on with Donovan? Maybe a year from now, like you said, he gets his money, then he complains.
And sure, we've seen guys do that. Donovan Mitchell still comes back down to the coach in Utah, and I almost wonder if Danny Ainge is not slow playing this whole thing so he can take care of that first. Take care of the coaching thing, and then tell Donovan Mitchell, okay, where are we going from here when no one will have anything to offer and Donovan Mitchell will kind of be screwed? This Utah thing is very weird. To not have a coach at this point. Look, I'll give you the perfect example. The Charlotte Hornets didn't have a coach because Kenny Atkinson said no. And whether you like Steve Clifford or not, Michael Jordan knew he had to move relatively quickly. He has Miles Bridges in free agency. He has other moves to make. And he went ahead and made his move. Utah operates in their own sphere. I mean, it literally is, and I don't mean to condescending here, like they're dealing with their own religion. They just deal with things their own way out there in Salt Lake City, and we're seeing it in the NBA. That only is going to further confuse Donovan Mitchell. So I think that situation gets sideways. But at what point, Big O, do you stop hoping for something happening elsewhere and set your team up? The one thing we know about free agency, when it starts 6 o'clock on Friday, it moves at warp speed. Honestly, by Saturday or Sunday, we'll be done with most of the moves.
Right. Yeah.
So Utah wants to make a Donovan Mitchell move. They got to decide in the next couple of days who their coach is and what their direction is and what they're doing with Rudy Gobert. They might have more work on the table even than even than Brooklyn when it comes to the future of their franchise.
So maybe Danny Ainge is pulling a LeBron on Riley that he'll wait till after the moratorium to make his moves.
If he thinks he can hold the cards, honestly, I know you're kidding, but if he thinks he can hold the cards and control free agency, that would be such a Danny Ainge type of move.
By the way, for the record, I'm a Kenny Atkinson fan. I thought he did a marvelous job with the Nets, and it was really smart of him not to take a job for Michael Jordan.
It's crazy. Everyone thought Michael Jordan's an owner is going to be the best thing that happened to the league. That guy pinches pennies and cuts costs more than anyone, and this is why, because it's his money. All these guys are going to ownership, as you know, whether it's Marino and he's going to move with the Dolphins and some others or Brady, they want to deal with someone else's money. Perfect example is Derek Jeter. Yes, he put in $25 million, but he took $5 million out a year for 5 years to get all his money back and never was invested. Michael Jordan is realizing the pain of ownership at times when you're not elite like his Chicago Bulls were.
Yeah, I mean, he's as bad a GM as great as he was a player. I mean, that's just, it really is amazing. All right, what else are you working on the Sun on a very important and active week here in the NBA.
Well, today Nikola Jokic comes in. I'm curious if Pat Riley does talk about free agency. Last Thursday when we were at the draft, Pat came in after the first round, and Tim Donovan, the PR guy, said no free agency questions. I'm curious how much Pat bends that a little bit. Also working on a story about all the foreign players the Heat have had over the years and how they've really shied from that. And probably outside of maybe Goran Dragic and maybe Sasha Danilovic, you could look at Vladimir Stepanya, there really hasn't been an impact. So if Nikola Jokic makes an impact, this will really be a breakthrough moment for the Heat and maybe get the Heat to look a little more overseas as well. So I think this is sort of a seminal moment coming up this afternoon at FTX Arena. So I'm working on a story on that. Honestly, you have the deadline coming up tomorrow. We're coming up on Wednesday to, like you said, the start of the Acker Pembroke Pines report. Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Omar Yurtseven all have to be guaranteed. All will be guaranteed. And think of that, Big O. $1.8 million a year for each of them. Potentially your backup center, your starting shooting guard, your backup point guard. Think of the amount of money that for just over $5 million, the Heat are going to lock up their starting shooting guard if it's still Strus, their backup point guard if it's still Vincent, their backup center if it becomes Yurtseven, for one-third of the cost of what Duncan Robinson will make next year.
Amazing. The Heat are trying to break the Sasha Danilovic curse. That's amazing. God. Oh, man. That was early in Riley's run when he made that selection. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat and catch his work there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Make sure you subscribe also to support Ira and all the great writers there. Ira, as always, we will see you tomorrow for the
full hour back home. Nice backdrop behind me. And we'll be giving the best of the Jokic press conference and looking ahead to free agency. Looking forward to it, Big O.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Ira Winderman. Catch him 9 to 10 tomorrow. We're switching inside the paint from Wednesday to Tuesday this week. All right, there we go. I like it. Good stuff there by Ira Winderman. All righty, there he is. If we only had a couple things to talk about in basketball today. Ira Winderman, how are you doing, my man? You doing good?
I'm doing good. I'm going to give a preemptory for people, anyone listening to the podcast before 6 p.m., maybe a little after. As we've already learned, don't believe everything you hear or see reported. Everyone on this NBA beat is out to get their scoops, and then sometimes you wind up with your oops. And the first one already happened. Yeah, I like that. The first one already happened where there was a report the Heat were going to meet with Jalen Brunson, and all hell broke loose. And then we get an update. There is no Heat meeting with Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson didn't schedule with the Heat. The Heat didn't schedule with Jalen Brunson. And what you wind up doing on a lot of these is getting the pushback because teams realize it gets players and other teams thinking. In this case, Big O, all of a sudden we were trading Kyle Lowry. Well, Kyle Lowry sees that. And he's like, what the bleeping F? You're getting a point guard? Then the Heat has to get in touch with him. His agent has to assuage all of that. So, yes, this is the most fun league, I believe, when it comes to Twitter and rumors and personnel. But stuff changes. And folks, there is nothing more important today than constantly refreshing your Twitter, because what you might see at 6:17 might change by 6:19, 6:41, 7:30, or Friday morning.
All right. So let's get to, and the Brunson thing it had no sense to it. Like there was no rhyme or reason to why the Heat would bring it in. Now, the report was that Brunson's reps were the ones that asked for this meeting, which was kind of crazy. But whatever, it is what it is.
But you know what, Big O? What I do is when I get a piece of meat, I try to figure how I can cook that. If I need to fillet it, if I'm going to grill it, if I'm going to cook it in the oven. So what I was thinking of, okay, Jalen Brunson to the Heat, you're sending out Kyle Lowry. What else can you do? And I'm like, well, how about Kyle Lowry and Duncan Robinson for Jalen Brunson and Dorian Finney-Smith? Then you have your defensive four to move into the mix. So again, a lot of this, that didn't happen. But there's going to be a lot of part two. And the reason I bring this up, and I know you were going to talk about it, even the DeJounte Murray trade with Atlanta and San Antonio is not done yet for this reason. You can expand trades, make the money work. So John Collins is still in the mix, not to San Antonio, but maybe to team number three, including
Miami.
He'd lose PJ Tucker. Maybe the Miami Heat step in and said, okay, let's see how we can make this whole thing work into a three-way deal. So a lot of times you'll see something you think is team to team, A to B, and then all of a sudden C and D jump in. As you know, Big O, we've been through this for years together. the math and the cap can get awfully complex, which is always why it's a great thing to have Andy Ellisberg on your side.
Okay, so walk us through as the Heat Nation on what's going on with the PJ Tucker situation, because James Harden opting out, and then now the follow-up report that he's willing to take a little less to give them even more cap space, which means they can sweeten that deal for PJ to make sure they lock him in. So if Miami cannot retain PJ Tucker, then John Collins becomes a guy that could be available, because I doubt the Hawks are going to pay Murray and Collins overall. So I would imagine that Collins gets into play. And then also in Milwaukee now, Bobby Portis has opted out of his option too. So now he's a free agent. Miami could be interested in a Bobby Portis, who also can shoot the three, by the way. So walk us through this whole dynamics of what is the priority. By the way, Jay Crowder is another one that is also being mentioned too for Miami.
Ding, ding. Yes. So I'm going to go backwards.
So walk me through all these options. If we don't keep PJ Tucker, what is that other triangle of options for them?
The people I have spoken to now said if PJ Tucker leaves, that put Jay Crowder number one on your list. Phoenix has a lot of contract stuff to deal with, including DeAndre Ayton or other moves with that. Jay Crowder's in the final year of a deal. They have a lot of good young players that are looking to play in those positions. So ironically, the third year of the contract that the Heat would not sign Jay Crowder to because they thought they were getting Giannis could come full circle. That's where they put Duncan Robinson into play, possibly a three-way deal. Send out Duncan's $18 million, bring in Jay Crowder's $10 million, wind up still in a good place against the hard cap. That's a strong possibility. I would put that as my number one option if PJ's lost. I'll walk you backwards.
Okay.
Bobby Portis was what you are going to see across the league. Guys who opt out simply to get a better deal. Bobby Portis is staying in Milwaukee. Big O, I would be shocked if he doesn't. I'm not saying it's not a good name for the Heat. It's a great name for the Heat.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not going to go above the taxpayer mid-level. They don't have the wherewithal for that. So I see Bobby Portis saying, so many guys who opted out. James Harden opted out, he's staying. Bradley Beal opted out, he's staying. Bobby Portis opted out, he's staying. You see this all over the place. They're just trying to get long-term deals. So I think Bobby Portis is there. What James Harden did, this notion that James Harden is giving money back, these guys don't give a plug nickel back. What he's doing is, and don't listen to Nickelback either, and what he's doing is he's taking the money back on the back end. Right. He's getting years. Yeah. So yes, James Harden, he's a saint. He's giving up $10 million a year.
He's giving up cap space here early instead of getting a bigger salary.
He's giving up more cap space here, and when he's 52 years old and still playing for Daryl Morey in Philly, he'll get his Udonis-like money back on the back end. What that does is put Philadelphia below the luxury tax threshold, allows them to pay PJ Tucker the $10.5 million non-taxpayer mid-level. Oh, this is how insane this world is and how much ego has to do with it. PJ Tucker, when this whole process started, said, I want me a $10 million contract. And you and I talked about this on our Acura Pembroke Pines report on Monday. We spoke about it with Clay Ferraro and our Sloman's Home Security Inside the Paint on Tuesday. The Heat can craft a package almost identical, starting with PJ Tucker's non-Bird $8.6 million exception that the 76ers can with the $10.5 million mid-level exception. No income tax, state income tax in Florida, a nominal state income tax in Pennsylvania. But PJ simply wants to see his salary listed as $10 million plus. PJ Tucker wants to be listed as a $10 million player. So I have sat here in Winderman Casa, slamming my head against the wall. Doesn't he get it? He's in a good situation. It won't snow here in February, and he'll wind up with almost the exact same amount of dollars. In fact, with an opt-out in the third year, with full Bird rights, he could wind up with more than $10 million a year. And all he's doing is sitting there with his PJ Tucker-like smile going, nah, I want a contract that starts at $10 million. And the Heat can't do it. And it's freaking infuriating. It's an ego thing. PJ Tucker wants to step on the court for opening day in October for his team and puff his chest out and go, I'm a $10 million player. Because God forbid he's listed as a $8.3 million player, life wouldn't be the same. I don't know. And this is where the Heat are. The Heat are throwing their hands in the air. They had to get permission from Mickey Arison just to go 3 years out to when P.J. Tucker will be 40 years old. They did it. They said, P.J., we went to our owner. He greenlighted this. 3 years, fully guaranteed, $27 million to a 37-year-old power forward.
Not enough.
We're the best, aren't we, P.J.? And P.J. said, yeah, I want $10 million a year to start. Big O, I don't know. It's like someone telling you they want a dollar and you telling them, here's four quarters, and them going, no, I want a dollar. And you're like, ugh.
Wow.
I don't know.
All right. So we talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the show, the DeJounte Murray deal. And I threw this out there. So Tyler and two first rounders wouldn't have been able to get that done? Or is it because what you told me last night, they're more into clearing cap space and acquiring picks than anything else?
They want to move their cap back. So you bring in a player like Tyler, boom, you have to give him the massive extension.
Right.
You wind up capped. They're playing for this French big man, number one, who's seen as, and this is ironic, Big O, the next David Robinson and the next Tim Duncan.
Oui.
That's what the Spurs do. They build around a talented, skilled big man. They're going all in on the number one pick from the player internationally ranked as the number one draft prospect next year. As you know, even the worst record in the league only gives you a 14% chance, but you build up another few more first-round picks. Maybe you trade two, three of them for another lottery pick. You enhance your chances. That's where they're going.
I hear they have 11 first rounders over the next 7 years.
Yeah, they're basically have turned into the Thunder. You know, they've taken the Thunder approach. It seems like if you play in the Southwest, that's what you do. So I understand that. But Big O, I want to walk back our text string from last night. I'm not so sure the Heat were willing to give up Tyler Hero for DeJounte Murray. Now you might go to me, wait a minute, Ira. DeJounte Murray's already an NBA All-Star. He is a number one kick butt defender, but he can't shoot. And the Heat like shooters. And the Heat need scorers. And the Heat know they can get defenders because they always have gotten perimeter defenders. But Tyler Hero is a special player with a special skill set on a team that has long struggled to create offense.
Right.
So I think the Heat are looking more at Tyler Hero's regular season, at his possibilities. So basically, let's throw the draft choices aside.
So if Butler was a dynamic shooter, then you can bring Murray in.
Yes.
But because you have two guys that are probably... You know, he's a younger version of Butler that he's probably going to need to attack the rim more. Even though he did shoot 36% 3 years ago from three-point range, then he went 31 and 32 the last 2 years.
Then teams start defending you when they see you can do something.
Right.
So I think that's what it comes down to. Look, it was a fantastic name for the right price. I agree. I think Atlanta got a steal, although they really – you don't see teams give up unprotected first-round picks. That all of a sudden, this reminds me back.
They're not going to be in the lottery. They're going to be good enough to be out.
Joe Dumars thought that 1 year, and he wound up giving a first round pick in a trade with the Grizzlies at a time.
I mean, if injuries can do it, but I mean, if they're healthy, Atlanta should be a decent team.
But it just takes one bad season among the two when they gave their unprotected first round picks. That's a currency you very rarely see traded. Even Boston, when they made their trade for Derek White, made it number one protected. Number two, you can have it. But number one...
Yeah, but Ira, you're not giving up anything. Gallinari is nothing but a guy you're going to cut.
He's a buyout. So you're
getting a guy that averages 21, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals. Yeah, you have to give him up unprotected. You have to because they've got to hope that one of them ends up being a high pick.
Right. Well, really, and what you're doing is making sure that your team is really bad this year. If you traded for Tyler Hero, you might be less really bad. It's the bizarre world, and I've always felt this way. If a team is going to flat out come out and say, we're not playing to win, you damn well better discount your tickets. What other product says, hey, we're releasing this movie this week in the fourplex, and the movie sucks. Now play full price. Only in the NBA. NFL doesn't tank to this degree. During a season, an NFL team will start to tank when they realize it's going in that direction. Only in the NBA, I think of any sport, does a team from the start saying, man, are we going to be bad this year? And the Spurs will be.
All right, so let's tell the Heat Nation. The Beal stuff is dead. Is the Donovan Mitchell stuff
No, still, that's very much alive.
Okay.
That is very much alive. I don't know what the hell Utah's doing. It seems like they're bringing in the Friends Club. You have Danny Ainge bringing in a Boston Celtics assistant coach. You have Dwayne Wade bringing in David Fizdale in the front office. It almost seems like they're playing basketball team than having any sense of continuity. So they're 50% Celtics, they're 50% Heat, and there's not a lot of Jazz left in there from what was built by the previous regime and coached by Quinn Snyder. Yeah, and Big O, this goes back to the story I wrote at the Sun Sentinel today. This is why the Miami Heat do not want to be hard-capped. When you are hard-capped, it is much harder to make a mega-trade in the offseason, a mega-trade before the February NBA trading deadline. So the Heat's thought is this: PJ Tucker, you're terrific. You would have been great to have, but you're not worth giving up the chance for Donovan Mitchell. You're not worth giving up the chance for Kevin Durant.
Right.
Because if this goes to crap in Brooklyn and Kyrie doesn't show up because he was scared by a neighbor's Halloween costume and needs 3 weeks off to recover, then all of a sudden Kevin Durant's going to go, get me the hell out of there, and start averaging a Harden-like 8 points a game. So the Heat don't want to be hard capped. This is not Mickey Arison saving money. This is flexibility. That they could make a blockbuster, that they could throw Duncan Robinson and Kyle Lowry and other contracts in August, September, December, February, make the mega deal. And I agree with the Heat approach. You do not hard cap yourself for PJ Tucker at the expense for the 2% chance at Donovan Mitchell, for the 1% chance at Kevin Durant. Andy Ellisberg's a smart dude. He's not going to put himself in a box when he doesn't have to. The Heat have been hard capped each of the last 3 years. 3 years ago, because they got Jimmy Butler in a sign and trade, no issue. Last summer, when they got Kyle Lowry in a sign and trade, no issue. 2 years ago, when they got Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless above the taxpayer, non-taxpayer mid-level, yeah, a little bit of an issue.
Right.
I think they learned from that. For elite, you go hard-capped. For anything less than elite, you sit back, you let your fans deal with it, and you move forward.
Well, the craziness starts at six. Like, when should we know about Donovan Mitchell, if that's a possibility?
Donovan Mitchell won't be a today thing. Donovan Mitchell won't be a this week thing. Donovan Mitchell will be reading the tea leaves. Wait a minute. They let Royce O'Neal go? Wait a minute. They're trading Rudy Gobert to the Bulls? We're going to have to read the tea leaves, Big O. And then Utah will recalibrate and going, okay, we got this for Royce O'Neal. We got this for Rudy Gobert. Now where do we go? Then we'll have a better read. Again,
well,
I love
at that point, you're going to have to trade Donovan Mitchell because he's going to look around and say, but he's going to look around and say, what am I, part of a rebuild? I got to get the hell out of
here. Yes, but for what? For picks, which the Heat are limited in, or for players, which the Heat might be able to offer? Three-way trade, that Tyler Hero? That's what you have to wait and see is what they're going to get. I love that we call this tonight the start of free agency, but it's really the start of the personnel season. And trades, I believe, because of the craptastic free agent list, are going to be more of a factor in teams reshaping than free agency. Another name, Zach LaVine. I think he's staying with the Bulls.
Yeah.
He's at the top of the list. Matter of fact, I have a list at sunsentinel.com of the top free agents. And I think my top free agent listing right now is James Harden, Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine. You know, and going down there, I think the top five guys I have listed are all expected, except for DeAndre Ayton, to go back to their current team. And if he doesn't find an offer sheet, he's going to have to go back to the Suns, if even on a one-year deal. Keep an eye on the trade market. Folks, when you're scorecarding free agency tonight, also say to yourself, how could this impact the trade market?
All right, what else are you working on in the Sun Sentinel so folks can check you out, my friend?
It was a little thing last night that the clock took care of, and not the Heat. But at the stroke of midnight, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, and Omer Yurtseven became guaranteed for this coming season. And, oh, like I spoke to you earlier this week, think about that. For $5.4 million total, they have three rotation players. And that eases the Duncan Robinson contract. And that eases some of the other bad math. That is genius. That is genius. You cannot spend $5.4 million better. You know those things you get on Twitter? Pick someone from column A, column B, and column C that doesn't cost more than $5 in fantasy. You can't add three players together more than Max Strus, starter, Gabe Vincent, playoff starter, Omer Yurtseven, emerging player, likely rotation player, for $5.4 million. Wrote about it at sunsentinel.com to start my Heat notebook. But again, whenever people lament to the Big O and go on the chat board here, the Heat missed that, the Heat didn't do that, keep in mind what the Heat have done with their development program. It really has been remarkable. And the cost efficiency of that has allowed for the missteps every now and then.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They've done an awesome job of being able to unearth talent. That's why I'm actually intrigued next week, the summer league, just to go see some of the new guys and go, what, who the hell
and
is that guy?
Some of the old guys. Keep an eye on Marcus Garrett. I spoke to Malik Allen yesterday, and they are really encouraged by Marcus Garrett coming back from his wrist injury. He was under contract at the start of last season. Matter of fact, let's see if you remember. 10 straight shows, I talked about Marcus Garrett and compared him to a former Heat player. Two of them. Which two players did I compare him to?
Well, I know that when we were talking about Marcus Garrett, the Caleb Martin thing was also going on, that we were talking about guys that can help out the Heat.
But especially two dogged on-ball defenders.
Yeah, Briante.
Briante Weber.
Yeah, and the kid from the Clippers, Beverly.
Patrick Beverly. And if you can get a dogged on-ball defender like that, there's always a place for that in your rotation. Amen. And a matter of fact, Big O, we're going to talk about this around in Vegas. I think the Heat have so many young, intriguing possibilities, maybe even Haywood Highsmith. You and I will have to debate again, and I know it's hard for Heat Nation, the Udonis Haslam roster spot.
Oh, yeah.
Do you give UD the spot over a Highsmith? Do you give him the spot over Marcus Garrett? Do you give him the spot over an Orlando Robinson? Summer League will tell, but I think the Heat, for all their win now stuff, are going to have a really nice developmental program.
I'm with you there. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Catch his work there at the Sun Sentinel. And then you can catch him next week in Vegas and right here on this platform. Ira, have a fantastic weekend, my friend. We will catch up next week.
No 2,500 women for me. Thank you, Big O.
You got it. Later. So Ili Nastasi beat out Ira Winderman is what he's saying. All right, there you go. That's our Acura Pembroke Pines Miami Heat report.